Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller, and this is fascinating. We got some good stuff here about the inside workings of the White House. Chris Whipple is an author, political analyst, and Emmy Award-winning documentary filmmaker, frequent guest on MSNBC, CNN, and his first book, The Gatekeepers, which I have not read, but I am dying to now. It's an analysis of the position of White House Chief of Staff. It was a New York Times bestseller. His follow-up, The Spy Masters, based on interviews with nearly every living CIA director. And now he's back with a brand new book, which looks absolutely fascinating. It's about Joe Biden, the fight of his life inside Joe Biden's White House. Chris Whipple joins us here on the National Defense. Chris, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, this is fascinating stuff. How are you able to get this kind of access in all of your books to these people?
Well, you know, it's war of attrition. You go after one interview, and then the next, and the next. Word gets around that hey, this guy's not too bad. We can trust him, or at least he doesn't do too much damage. And no, but seriously, this White House was particularly difficult because compared to the Trump White House.
Yeah, right.
It's very disciplined, battened down, on script. They don't talk much out of school, but I was able to talk to nearly every one of Joe Biden's inner circle, including Ron Klain, the chief of staff, and others. And the result is this book, which I think it's a political thriller in three acts.
Yeah, like you say, Chris, we almost knew too much about Trump. You know, that was wide open. But with Biden's and his people, pretty tight-lipped, right?
Yeah, they are. But again, as I say, I was really fortunate in being able to talk to most of his inner circle, including not only the chief of staff, but General Mark Milley, the Secretary of State Tony Blinken, and CIA Director Bill Burns. It didn't hurt that that Burns had liked my book on the CIA directors, The Spy Masters, which came out before he was appointed.
Yeah, the new book, The Fight of His Life, inside the Joe Biden White House. Chris Whipple joins us here. And let's kind of get into some of these things in a book here. These are all very, very fascinating. Why Joe Biden doesn't trust his Secret Service detail and feels he can't speak freely around them.
So this was really surprising and a little bit alarming to me to learn this. And it turns out that Biden had a good relationship with his detail during the transition. The head of that detail was transferred out. As president, he wound up with a much larger group. And look, it shouldn't be shocking that, you know, in the Secret Service, there might be a lot of people with deeply conservative views. So
sure.
a few of them seem to be MAGA sympathizers from Biden's point of view. And he felt he was uncomfortable with that. And look, the context here is that Donald Trump did everything in his power to politicize the Secret Service. He appointed his most loyal guy, Tony Arnotto, to be deputy White House chief of staff, which was unheard of. That's a political position. And don't forget that Mike Pence on January 6th in the basement of the U.S. Capitol building didn't want to get into his car with his Secret Service detail. And that was because he suspected that he wasn't sure where they would take him or whether it was part of Trump's plan. So, look, I'm not suggesting it's that serious with Joe Biden, but, you know, he felt that his Secret Service should not only protect him, but also keep his secrets. And he wasn't so sure he could count on them for that.
You know, I'm looking forward to your next book, Chris, about the inside workings of the Secret Service, because I've always been fascinated by them. And you're right. I mean, they have that oath. They have that loyalty that is demanded. But, hey, it's, you know, they're people and they've got different points of view and different concerns. So it is kind of alarming that Joe Biden doesn't trust his own Secret Service. I mean, that's not a good position. We're talking to Chris Whipple here in the National Defense, the new book, The Fight of His Life, inside Joe Biden's White House. And I want to touch on something that really affects our audience. Our audience is mainly active duty military veterans and their families. And you talk about in the book the story behind the administration's bungled withdrawal from Afghanistan and what you call a whole of government failure, and who blamed whom.
Yeah, you know, it's as I said before, I see this book as as having three acts. The first act is the unbelievably fraught transition when Trump resisted giving up the office. The second is the first year of Biden's presidency, which was really, really dominated, I think, by a fiasco or the withdrawal from Afghanistan. And the third act is and turning point for him, I think, was Putin's invasion of Ukraine and his handling of that. But on Afghanistan, it was fascinating to me because Tony Blinken, the Secretary of State, told me in no uncertain terms that everything they did was based on a flawed intelligence assessment that the Afghan government and armed forces would last for 18 months. This was news to CIA Director Bill Burns when I sat down with him and talked at some length. Burns said, no, look, we were clear-eyed about the fragility of the Afghan government and armed forces, and that if you took two legs of the stool away, namely the U.S. military and the American contractors, we said it would collapse very quickly. And then General Mark Milley told me, gave me yet another version of the intelligence, which was he thought he was told the government would last until Thanksgiving. Wow. So look. This is a White House administration that looks pretty smooth on the surface, but you dive in deep and you discover that there's more drama going on behind closed doors than it appears. And just to give you the bottom line on the withdrawal from Afghanistan, my feeling is it was a whole of government failure. Everybody got everything wrong, and in particular, there just weren't enough troops on the ground. There was when they tried to execute the withdrawal, they had a cap of 700 troops at that point. And that's where I think the intelligence bit them, because they just thought they had more time.
Yeah. And Chris, you know, we talked to a lot of veterans on this program, especially Afghanistan vets, and it so deeply affected so many of them in terms of their psyche and their what a lot of them consider in their minds, they're a failure in terms of what they were sent there to do and how that ended up. So it was just a mess all the way around.
Well, a lot of people, a lot of people see this as a betrayal, a betrayal of the Afghan people. And, you know, Joe Biden was once all in. There was that famous scene where he, as vice president, was confronted by I think she was 13, an Afghan girl who said, you can't leave. And Biden said, don't worry, honey, we're not leaving. Well, you know, he changed his mind.
Yeah.
He came into office hell-bent on getting out. Mark Milley was unable to convince him, or rather, let me put it the other way. Biden was convinced that as soon as a deadline was set for withdrawal, and remember, Donald Trump set one on May 1st.
I was going to mention that, yeah.
Yeah, Biden's deadline became August 31st, but Biden was convinced that the day after August 31st, the deadline, that the Taliban would attack again, and it was a recipe for endless war. We would have to send more troops, and, you know, it's game on all over again. And Milley conceded to Biden, he told me, that, look, yeah, you're right, the war starts all over again the day after the withdrawal deadline. So that's what it came down to, I think.
Yeah, and, you know, it's easy to second guess things, especially when you're not in that position of power. But who knows? Had we stayed, you know, where we would be right now. We're talking to Chris Whipple here on the National Defense, the new book, The Fight of His Life, Inside Joe Biden's White House. You mentioned a vice president. I want to ask about this because it is kind of weird that we don't see the president and the vice president together a lot now when we never saw them apart. And you talk about what Joe Biden thinks of Kamala Harris and how their complicated relationship has evolved, right?
Yeah, it's a fascinating relationship and complicated, as you say. I mean, in the beginning, they were thrown together because of COVID, and they were in meetings together all the time. And I think Biden really valued her contributions. He gave her important national security responsibilities. I tell the story untold before about Kamala Harris meeting privately with Volodymyr Zelensky on the eve of the Russian invasion in Munich. And she told him, look, not only are the Russians coming for Ukraine, they're coming for you personally and your family. Mm. And Zelensky was still skeptical. When he left, she turned to an aide and said, I wonder if that's the last time we see him alive.
Wow.
Everybody underestimated Zelensky. But anyway, I digress because the vice president did have these important roles, but she also had some really tough ones in the Northern Triangle, as we all know, and voting rights. And word got around and it got back to the president that the second gentleman, Doug Emhoff, was going around complaining to people he knew that this was mission impossible, that Kamala Harris was being set up to fail. And this really annoyed the president because he hadn't asked her to do anything he hadn't done under Obama. He had the Northern Triangle. So anyway, it's a complicated relationship.
Yeah, because, there were reports early on that maybe she was being set up to take over. So, I mean, that totally flip-flopped, huh?
Well, a lot of people wonder, I talk to people who, some of whom support her, who ask the question, well, where is she?
Right.
She adopted a low profile, and I think that baffles a lot of people. And I don't think she's being muzzled by the president and his staff. Ron Klain, the chief of staff, told me he met with her regularly in the early days of the presidency and kept telling her, look, you can't score runs from the dugout. You got to get out there. But for whatever reason, she hasn't adopted a high profile. Maybe she felt burned by her trip to Guatemala, where she stumbled in that interview with NBC's Lester Holt. You may remember. But anyway, it's baffling to some people.
Yeah, we're talking to Chris Whipple here on the National Defense and the new book, The Fight of His Life, Inside Joe Biden's White House. And you bring up Ukraine. And that does seem to be kind of a weird, complicated relationship that Joe Biden has with Zelensky. Talk about that a little bit, Chris.
Yeah, it's also a really interesting challenge for Biden, because obviously he feels that this is, the defense of Ukraine is absolutely essential and important. I really think that I mentioned the third act of Joe Biden's presidency. It began, I think, on February 24th, 2022, when Putin invaded Russia. And I think Joe Biden rose to meet that moment. I don't know anybody who could have done better rallying NATO and the Western world to face down Vladimir Putin and defend Ukraine. He gets high marks for that. There's this tension with Zelensky because, of course, Zelensky, like Churchill, wants to drag the U.S. into the war. at the very least, he wants all the weaponry.
Right.
Can get, and the more advanced, the better. And Biden feels he has to walk this geopolitical tightrope because the stakes here are obviously couldn't be higher. The risk of nuclear war, the possibility of being in direct conflict with Russia, that's always on Biden's mind. Right. I think that's what keeps him up at night.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's such a tenuous relationship already. It always has been. And then you throw Ukraine in there. I mean, just incredible. What a fascinating story this is. Now, you did not interview. Did you try to interview the president for this book?
You know, it's interesting because I did. And ultimately, I was told he'll answer your written questions with written answers, which is what he did. And I got some very interesting, I think, revealing responses from him. I would have preferred to be in the room, obviously.
Sure.
But one story he told me was about the worst day of his presidency, the day he called the hardest of the hard days, as he put it. It was when 13 service members were killed in that tragic suicide bombing in Kabul. And that was, as you can imagine, just deeply, deeply, just personally wrenching for Joe Biden. And what made it worse for him was when he tried to console the families of the fallen and talked about Beau Biden, which he always does in those situations. And he was criticized. He was really attacked by a couple of the families who blamed him for their loved one's loss. Mm. And somehow invoking Beau made it worse for some of them. And that was, as one senior White House aide said to me, he felt a deeply misunderstood sadness is what she said for weeks afterwards. And to this day, he carries around in his pocket an index card with all of the number of Americans killed and wounded in Afghanistan.
Can't even imagine. Can't even imagine. It's a fascinating look. The Fight of His Life is the name of the new book. Inside Joe Biden's White House, Chris Whipple. Thank you so much for the time, Chris. And before we leave, I got to say, Mr. Whipple, please don't squeeze the Charmin.
Yeah, I was afraid you were going to go there.
Chris, thank you so much. We'll be right back here on the National Defense.